hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for Jesus this morning? Are you thirsty for him? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all that you are. Lord, our souls know fully well of how good you are. Lord, our spirits cry out as deep even cries out unto deep this morning, Lord. Lord, there's so much more that you have at your disposal. There's so much more of your glory. There's so much more of your goodness. So much more of your kindness. Every characteristic, every attribute of who you are, God. We want to know it more. We want to know you more, God. We don't want to just know about you. Even as we sang earlier, God, we don't want to sing about you or talk about you like you're not in the room. We want to speak directly to you, to have a relationship that is alive and thriving, God, that you are right before us, God. And we know that you make and prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God, we prepare a table for you as well this morning. And we say, Lord, we want to come. We want to come and we want you to come, Lord, to feast with us, to commune with us, to come, Lord, and receive honor and glory with our lives. So, Lord, as we go into the next few moments, Lord, into your word, I pray that you would show us more of who you are, that we'd be captivated by you yet again. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see you. I thank you for those that have already seen you this morning. But Lord, show us more. Show us more. Holy Spirit, open up our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, God, so that we wouldn't be those that just simply are moved by what we see or what we think or what we feel. But Lord, we would hear your voice and give opportunity for us to be obedient, Lord, that we would be quickly responsive and obedient to your word, your calling. Lord, and open up our hearts to receive fresh revelation. Lord, we need your revelation, God. Because without your wisdom, without your spirit of revelation, Lord, we walk in darkness. But we want your light this morning. So Lord, pour it into our hearts, God. And let it saturate every part of our lives. If you're in agreement with that, give the Lord a shout of amen. Amen. Well, I know what time it is. It's time for us to get real with Jesus. I've got 27 points for you, and we're only going to be here. No, I'm just kidding. I honestly don't know how long this is going to be. I'm going to try and be short. But I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak this morning. I feel like my notes are there. But you need to hear from the Lord today. Do we need to hear from the Lord today? Yes. Turn with me in the book of Psalms to Psalm 84. We're just going to read a couple of verses there just to continue stoking the fire as we've been going through these past several weeks, abiding in the Lord. Have you taken that to heart? Have you taken time to dwell with him, to remain with him, to cling to him? A couple of weeks ago, we started, and last week we talked about several different things, but this morning, the word that I heard from the Lord was the rest of the story. Abide, the rest of the story. It's kind of a double, right? There's more to the story, but there's also rest in this story. And you don't get the rest of the story without resting in the story. Are you hearing me? To abide, yet again I'll read to you. It is the seamless connection, the continuous awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. It's that remaining, it's that clinging, it's that staying in the same place. It's being in close proximity. It's the language of the Old Testament and the New Testament about being connected to the Lord, our Creator. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You must abide in me, abide in the true vine. Stay connected to the true vine. Otherwise, the life that you have is no life at all. You need the life that flows through the vine. We need him. We must have him. And the three words that I want you to remember today, even as we're going to the rest of the story, technically it's four words, but three thoughts. Embrace and remain. Cling to, embrace, and remain. Three very similar things, but totally separate actions and responses. I can cling to anything. That doesn't mean that I have hope in it or faith in it. I could cling to a rail as I'm getting close to the edge of a skyscraper. I could cling to a piece of cloth on somebody's coat or cloak. But when I'm talking about clinging to, I'm talking about clinging like a child clings to their parent when they see a stranger. You understand? I'm talking about clinging to not out of fear, but out of safety. You understand there's a difference. We move not out of the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Those with a sound mind know exactly where they run. We run to the Lord and we are saved. We run into his presence and we find shelter. We can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's something about embracing the Lord when you're there that makes a huge difference. If I just cling to somebody, if my child clings to me, sometimes that could be like, you got to kind of get off my leg after a little while. You're like, okay, you're there, you're fine. But an embrace is altogether different. When it moves from a cling to an embrace, that's a mode of devotion and a mode of love. That's a response that comes from deep down and within. And there's a difference between a quick embrace and an embrace. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between an abiding embrace and a quick embrace just to check the box to say that I did it. I remember early on when I was younger, I didn't have a great relationship with my grandfather just because he seemed scary to me for a while. Great businessman, had that manly kind of, you know, physique. He had the beard, he had the business suit, he had all the things, and he was a great guy, but he was you shake hands, you greet him with a kiss on both cheeks. He was Irish and he had an Italian wife, and he worked in New York and had a lot of mafia buddies and different things. And so anyway, there was a serious response when you shook his hand. It was like, okay, you don't come to grandpa weak. You got to give him that firm handshake and that kind of thing. And so it was a quick embrace, and then you were gone. It was like, you know, it had to happen, and it was kind of cool that it did happen. I still enjoy the memory of that, even as awkward as it was at first. It became more affectionate later as I got to know him and was able to spend time and hear some of his heart. But the understanding is, there's a difference between a quick embrace and an embrace, just simply because. And I'm talking about our relationship, obviously, with the Lord this morning. And I'm not just saying, hey, we need to be those that are all about feeling. I even prayed that just a moment ago, if you caught it. It's not about just feeling. It's about being and dwelling with him, being transformed by him. But you know what? God does love for us to be able to feel him at times. He wants us to be able to experience him, to experience his touch, to be able to have that. Because depending on where we are in our lives, we know that we have to grow in maturity, right? When you're a child, you need a lot more loving. You need a lot more holding, coddling, those kinds of things until you're able to be weaned off your mother's milk, right? You grow in stature. You grow until you're able to cut some teeth and be able to chew on some meat, and you're able to walk, and you're able to start making decisions for yourself. And there's a difference between those that just stay simply in that place of being nurtured and those that are able to go out and do exactly whatever they need to do. But then it makes it even more special when that child returns for that embrace, right? I don't care how old you are. If you're 75 years old and you still have a mother living this morning, that embrace is still powerful from a son or a daughter to a mother to a father. Something about an embrace. So we need to cling to the Lord. We need to know when we need to cling to Him. We need to embrace Him. But then not only embrace Him, we need to know what it's like to remain with Him. To remain with Him. To allow Him to remain in us. We're talking about abiding in the vine. And I believe that that remaining is sometimes the most difficult. Because the other two can be spurred on from a response or an act of gratification or gratitude just for what God has done. It can be also just because, but oftentimes it's because of something that God has done. The remaining is because we simply want Him. We simply want Him. And that's what He's after this morning. The only way we get to be in the place of remaining is if we actually come into His rest. He's created us to be at rest. Isn't that scary? How many of your lives look like rest this morning? Don't answer out loud. How many of our lives look like, if somebody looked at your calendar, figured out where you were, if they tracked you, placed that tile tracker on you and figured out where you went, they'd be like, my goodness, what is this boy, what is this girl doing? They're all over the place. Jen, I know you get, 15,000 steps a day or something ridiculous? She's all over the place. Some of you get that in a week. Some of us need to get a few more steps too, but we'll leave that aside. I'm talking about resting in God. Being able to silence our heart and silence what's going on in our lives to the point where we can fully engage with the Lord. Fully engage with His Word. To meditate on His Word. To meditate on what He says to us. To dwell with Him. To be able to rest our souls. So that our souls can begin to respond to what that connection is. Your soul can be sanctified. Your soul can be sanctified by the presence of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of Jesus. Our souls can be sanctified, and all of a sudden the thoughts that typically would run after every single enticing thing in this world all of a sudden begin to be silenced, and we begin to say, you know what, I don't really want that right now. What I really want is to spend time with Jesus. Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and even the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. They will still be praising you. They will still be praising you. Let me say that again for those that are in the back that may need to hear. Those that still will be praising Him. Why? Because they are dwelling in the house of the Lord. When you dwell in the house of the Lord, there's nothing but praise that comes from that place. You want to leave the presence of God? You want to leave the house of the Lord? All you have to do is stop praising. All you have to do is stop your gaze of affection towards Him. You can do an about face and you can go into the world and figure out what you're going to do. And allow your toes to stub things, and you can stumble and fall flat on your face. Or you could allow Jesus to be with you 24/7. 24/7. Am I talking about being like a monk in meditation 24/7? Or I'm mixing two different things. I'm sorry. No, I'm talking about carrying an affection for Jesus. That when you wake up, the first thing on your mind is, Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you this morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I praise you, Heavenly Father. I look at his word and I say, Lord, I need to feast on you. I want you more than anything else, more than connecting with my emails, more than connecting with my social feed, more than even checking what's going on in the house, more than even checking what's going on with my spouse or my children or anything else, even though all of that's important. He is my first thing. To abide with him, to be able to wake up and say, Jesus, and to go to bed with Jesus on my mind. Is it possible?
Yes.
Yes. Do we often live it out? No. But it's possible, friends. And I dare say that the Lord is looking for those that will seek him consistently. He's looking for those that will fully surrender their lives. A life of rest is a complete life of surrender. There must be a constant death in order to rest in the Lord. Because our flesh constantly wants to be that, what do you call those things? The resurrected dead, whatever. They have all kinds of movies about them now. Zombies. We don't need to be the walking dead. In that sense, we don't need the old flesh to come alive. It needs to be crucified daily. And unless it's crucified daily, there is no rest. The part that makes us anxious is the old life. There's nothing in the new life that makes us anxious. There's nothing in the new creation that causes us to be out of faith. There's nothing in the new creation that causes us to doubt. Nothing. In the new creation, there is complete and total rest because you are in the presence of Almighty God, and all things come from the presence of Almighty God. All creative ability, all healing, all joy, all peace, all love, all life, all deliverance, anything that is needed always comes from the presence of God. So it seems to me, even if we're going from a logical standpoint this morning, we ought to be spending time in the presence of the Lord more there than anywhere else. And I don't know about you, but my Bible tends to say that we should be carriers of that presence. That we are those that are built to host the presence, the very presence of God. That we don't have to come, even though we do and we celebrate in places built with human hands, there's something much bigger on the inside of each and every individual in this house this morning, that you are the temple that God has created for fellowship, for divine presence, for divine dwelling, that you are dwelling places this morning. You are the church of Jesus Christ to be able to house his very presence. And if you're housing his very presence, guess what happens when you go into the world? His presence goes with you. So what should that look like? I'll let your mind wander for a second. What should it look like? This isn't a moment to say like, oh man, I don't know if I'll ever get to what Pastor's talking about this morning, but it sure sounds good. No. Can I tell you, everything that he calls us to, he gives us divine enablement. He gives us divine grace. And so many of us are living so far in the level of poverty concerning the Spirit of God, concerning the presence of God, concerning the rest of God, concerning the dwelling place of God, that we don't even realize how broke we are, how in need we are. But I'll tell you, when our soul cries out to the Lord, Lord, I want to dwell in your place, in your presence, in your house. I want you to make your dwelling place within me, and I give you space. I make room for you. That in every decision I have, Lord, I'm with you, Lord. And I already know what you're thinking about this because you're speaking to me. You're confirming things to me. And I don't have to wonder. I don't have to pray and fast for 20 days to figure out the answer because I'm already in connection with you. It's not about the effort. It's about the dwelling. It's about the abiding. It's about the surrender. That I surrender my very thoughts and my life unto the Lord. The early apostles, when they walked the earth, what was the representation that they brought? They brought the presence of God wherever they were, and they turned the world upside down. What was spoken to them, what was also included in the book of Acts that Mark started out with this morning, is the fact that these were unlearned men, but the marker of their lives, the marker of those that were looking in from the outside, said, these are those that have been with Jesus. These are those that have been with Jesus. That's the marker of a true Christian. If somebody can't, this is just black and white this morning. I'm not pulling any punches, because I want us, again, it's become a catchphrase as of late, I want us to die. Come on, Cam, can we say that? We got to die. How many of you got those devotions? We got to die. But if we're living our lives and nobody around us, nobody in our community can say that person lives with Jesus or has been with Jesus, I want what they have, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. That's not condemnation, that's just a reality that there's so much more. That there's so much more that the Lord wants to do in and through us. That if we want to see and be a church that welcomes Jesus back for us pure and spotless bride, then guess what? We're going to be those that are already abiding, not waiting until that point. How many of you know? Okay. I can sometimes be very last minute. I understand that. My wife probably hates it. Probably drives her absolutely crazy because she's more the planner. And sometimes God puts you together with somebody that you need because they balance you out, right? Just the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, even when we pray and don't know how to pray, don't know how to plan, don't know what to ask, don't know what to say, don't know what to cry out for. He helps us in our weaknesses. But there's times when you go to a wedding or you go to an event. And what, you're supposed to wear your best. It's a black tie event, you know. You're supposed to be dressed up. You're supposed to have things pressed and clean. You can't wait till the day before to take your dry cleaning in to get ready. They don't really like that. Does anybody have experience with that? Okay. There's some people, maybe sometime, you may find that one or two experiences where you just got in the nick of time. They do a favor for you. Something like that. But that's not the norm. The norm is you bring it in at least a week before. And you give it time so that you can check it out. Make sure you didn't get Johnny's shirt from down the street that's two sizes too small. It still fits. Yeah, you make sure that it's right. In the same way, we can't be those that have no oil in our lamps when the Lord returns and expect to be called the pure and spotless bride of Christ. No, we have to be those that have the iron working out the creases of my flesh, the creases of the desire for the things and entertainment of this age. I'm not saying we don't have fun with one another, but can I tell you, we need to have a whole lot more fun. A whole lot more fun. But it doesn't look like the way the world has fun. It looks like turning the world upside down and seeing Jesus completely save and deliver and set free and heal the blind and let the lame walk, and all of a sudden see a whole generation of youth, Caleb, all of a sudden break free from all of their discovery and their searching, and all of a sudden say, all I want is Jesus. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what people call me. I'm going after him because he's worthy and he's worth it. I'm talking about seeing our lives being lived in such a way that others can take notice. That's not the motivation, but that should be a commonplace occurrence for us. That every day people are saying, I want what you have. I want what you have. Can I tell you, you have what the world wants already. You have it. If you said yes to Jesus, he's given you the ability to be able to see miracles take place on a daily basis. The Spirit of Jesus himself living inside of you. The breath of God. The Ruach of God coming from your lips. Talking about abiding with Jesus. Because it's not just optional. It's necessary. It's necessary. We had some testimony. Doc, you're talking about something that should be commonplace in the church that we're celebrating. And I am celebrating that we came together on Wednesday night and went after the Lord. And sometimes, let me just say a few things about prayer. Prayer doesn't always look the way that you think it's going to look. Okay? Prayer doesn't even mean words. Do you understand that? Prayer is setting your affection on Jesus. Prayer is communication. Prayer is listening. Prayer is worship. Prayer is devotion. Prayer is so many different things. It's a state of actual being, because think about it. If Paul said and commanded those disciples around him to pray without ceasing, and prayer was only words, then there would be a whole lot of chatter going on. A whole lot of foolishness probably going on. But that's not what he meant. To pray without ceasing means to have that abiding connection with the Lord. To have that cry, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That consistent connection to the Lord. Those of you feeling disconnected, the Lord is saying, I'm here. The plug's here. The plug's here. You got the plug. You got the right end. I got the other end. Just stick it in. Let's get connected. Don't let anyone unplug it. Don't let anyone turn the switch off. You ever be in a place? Okay, we have one in the garage out there. It's for the light that goes outside. And actually, the light bulb needs changed, but that's a whole separate issue. But it's on because it's got a sensor, right? So it comes on at dark, and, you know, it goes off when it's light and those kinds of things. So it's on a switch as well. So what do we have? We got tape over that switch. That's the cheap solution. You know, you could do other things, of course. But you put a tape over it so that you don't turn the switch off. For some reason, we're letting anybody touch our switches. We're letting anybody turn that connection with the Lord off. It could be the mailman. It could be the Netflix thing. It could be the social media thing. It could be whatever. It could be the email dings on the phones. You understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, that quick. Am I saying don't communicate with people? No, of course you need to communicate with people, but don't let them touch your switch. Is that simple enough? Don't let them push your buttons. Protect the buttons. Protect the buttons. Exactly. My daughter loves buttons, Journey. My goodness. She even says it. I love buttons. I love the red ones. The orange ones are cool, but I love the red ones. I'm like, my goodness, I got to keep you away from the red buttons. She's had her moments where she's turned some stuff on or off, you know, and it's been fun. Sometimes costly. But anyway, you understand. Don't let people touch your buttons. That's a word. It's a simple word, but my goodness. We keep so much out in the open. It's like, oh. The Word of God says something totally different, contrary to the life of most Americans and most people in general. It says, is it James? Where is it? Talking about living a quiet life. A quiet life with the Lord. Do whatever you can to live a quiet and peaceable life. So that sin may not be named among you. Is it James? We might have to do a study on James here in a little bit. Because there's a lot there. There's a lot with our tongue that we really need to shape in order to be able to abide properly with the Lord. But my goodness, we're the complete opposite. We're not striving for the secret place. We're striving for everybody to know all our business. We don't even have the quiet place. We have the pictures of our quiet place on social media. You got the coffee, you got the Bible, you got all this stuff. That ain't secret. He will do things in secret. I will reward you openly. And what does it actually say? It says, confess your sins to one another. What if all of a sudden Instagram and careful now, right? Facebook and all this stuff was just everybody spewing their sin. Sinstagram or something like that. You know, you just, all of a sudden it's just posted everywhere. It kind of is. Yeah, I know, but that's a different kind of way. We don't think, people post stuff not thinking they're in sin, but they're posting it. All right, let's bring it back. You understand what I'm saying? The will of the Lord was to profess whatever the Father told him to do, and whatever he heard the Father say, that's what he promoted. And he didn't do it until the Lord released him for those 3 years. Prior to that, you didn't hear anything about Jesus. It's not recorded. Maybe they knew a little bit, but honestly, I think it's intentional. Jesus lived a quiet and peaceable life. He lived a life in the secret place. What was he doing? He was a carpenter. What did he do a couple years as he started being a carpenter? He got better at being a carpenter. That's probably about all that you know. But can I tell you, there's something about being in the presence of God. He said, when you pray, expecting you to pray, go in secret and close the door behind you. I'm not saying there aren't times for corporate prayer, because obviously there are times for corporate prayer. They didn't have the Spirit fall on them with tongues of fire and all that in their quiet place. It was in a corporate prayer meeting. There's space for that. There's importance for that. And for us, we're to be a house of prayer for all nations. As we're praying for the nations this morning, this isn't a one-time thing. This isn't a one-time Wednesday event. This isn't a one-time Sunday morning event. This is every day of our lives. We ought to be in that place of prayer, coming out of the secret place so that we have something to bring when we come in the corporate setting. And it just simply overflows, right? We don't come to the prayer meeting to learn just how to pray, even though that can happen. You learn how to pray by the Spirit teaching you in your room, alone with Him, because He wants to hear you. He doesn't want to hear someone else. If you've been around Charismania long enough, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you get into prayer meetings and all of a sudden people start emulating each other and you have the different things going on, and you can take a moment and you can joke about it, but it can get funny. We learn habits based on, you know, people that we perceive as spiritual and these kinds of things. Can I tell you, part of that's okay. But there's also another level of simply getting into that place where it's you and God. Finding your own identity with what He has given you. It's not about your identity, but it is receiving an identity. Because you can't do anything if you don't know who you are. In Christ. In Christ. The key is in Christ. Abiding, remaining, resting in Him. I didn't even touch really any of my notes. My goodness. May have to have another week of this. Is that okay? Jesus. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. That's it. That's right. Yeah. Let's read that actually. 1 Thessalonians. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 4, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Hey, I didn't say it. This isn't the Word of God. Wait, Pastor, that's in there? Yeah. And to work with your own hands. That means you can do something. You can work something. I won't go there. Okay. not the time. As we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. That you may lack nothing. How many of you want to lack nothing this morning? This is all connected to the abiding. I think I'm going to close on this thought. Isaiah chapter 30. And I'll read it from the Amplified. It's over here. Can I just remind us a couple of things as I still hear the pages turning? Abiding in the vine, there's some things that abiding is not. Abiding in the vine, you need to know who the vine is and what the vine is. Really, it's who the vine is. Prayer is not the vine. That's a part of connection in the vine. The Bible is not the vine. It's, again, part of connecting to the vine. The church is not the vine. It's part of connecting with the vine. Pastors, I'm not your vine. Your best top podcast person, whatever, favorite worship leader, that they're not the vine. Ministries are not the vine. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the vine. By calling himself the true vine, what he's actually doing is he's saying everything else that you have that tries to be your vine is counterfeit. It's counterfeit. Fictitious, imaginary, whatever else you can say. It's simulated. It's pretend. It's pretend. There was a time and place for you to have an imagination when you were young to be able to play pretend. But when you come into the presence of God, it's not about playing pretend. It's about experiencing the reality. And that's what Jesus is, pure reality. Isaiah 30, you there now? Verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to me," again, this is the Amplified, "in returning to me and resting in me, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trusting, confidence shall be your strength." Let me say it again, without the other parts and then with it. "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and resting you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." In the Amplified, to bring it in clarity, it says, "In returning to me and resting in me, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trusting confidence shall be your strength." The Lord's beckoning us to return. To return. To return. Alan said, return to your first love. Feel disconnected, return to your first love. Those of you that are connected right now, you made space for him during this time of prayer and fasting. Maybe some of the first things are on your mind are what you're going to eat after you break this fast. Maybe some of the first things on your mind are the places that you'll go, the things that you'll see. It'll be like a Dr. Seuss book. Green eggs and ham. Sorry. Oh, the places we will go. Can I tell you, don't go away from him. Don't leave him by the side. We've got one more week of corporate fasting. That doesn't mean you have to stop even fasting. I'm not saying you have to fast every day, but make it a habit of your life. That when you go through life, you know the way to silence your flesh is to crucify it somehow. So maybe halfway through the week, every Wednesday, maybe you make it a day of fasting. Maybe every other day. Maybe it's different ones will have different grace for certain things. Whatever it is, give space so that when you sense a little, just a little bit of disconnect, Give place to operate in that place of presence again, into dwelling with him. Why do things sound dull and dry and you don't feel like you're thirsty? It's because you haven't connected. The only way to become, it's upside down. We talked about this last week. The only way to become hungry and thirsty is to actually eat and drink of him. And the paradox of his love causes us to become more hungry. My soul will be satisfied in him, as with marrow and richness and fatness. That's what the psalmist said. But Isaiah's prophesying to the people of Israel, but he's prophesying to us again this morning. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to me and resting in me, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trusting confidence shall be your strength. Worship team, would you come? Let me put it this way. I mentioned cling to, embrace, and remain. And the only way to remain is to rest. If you're not able to rest, go back to the first step, which is cling to. If you've already clinged to, but you haven't embraced, then take a moment to embrace. If you have already embraced, but you're not remaining there, you find yourself coming and going, then figure out what it's like to be able to remain. It's not rocket science. Simplicity of come to me, those who are weary, those who are heavy laden. I'll give you something to drink and I'll give you rest. If you're out in the desert, there's nothing better than a cold glass of water. Even a room temperature glass of water. Jesus. I'll leave you with this thought, and we'll pick it up next week. The most important work that we will ever do is not that which we do, but it's that which we allow him to do. I'll say it again. The most important work is not that which you do or we do, but it's that which we allow him to do. That comes from rest. That comes from a place where I don't have to worry about coming, even as a pastor here on a Sunday morning, about what I'm going to say and what you're going to think about what I said. If I ever get into that place, it's time for me to go back into the secret place at least, at the very minimum. But can I tell you, any ministry that we do, any time the Lord uses us, it's got to be out of a place of rest. Silence your soul. Silence your soul. Crucify the flesh so that he can be exalted. Paul said, I desire to know nothing except him, Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Why? Paul knew the miracles that he wrought. Paul knew that Jesus was an amazing teacher. Paul knew the amazing man that he was, person that he is, but he wanted to know him crucified for multiple reasons. One, to recognize all the power of Calvary and the blood that did things to be able to completely cleanse him from all of his unrighteousness, but then the other side of seeing a crucified Christ who was willing to die and put his flesh down so that the glory of God could be revealed, the very plan of God could be established, that all of humanity could be restored into that rest that God had intended. Because the last thing God did was what? He made it all, and then he rested. And he invited us into that rest. And he walked among Adam, Jesus walked among Adam in the cool of the day. He called us back to that. The only way into that is that crucifixion. So Lord, crucify me so that I can rest. Let it hurt so good. Every eye closed. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and arrest your bride. Lord, I don't want anything else but all of you. I don't want anything else but all of you. And I pray that that is our prayer. Don't just listen to me say it, you say it. Lord, I don't want anything else. But anything less than all of you, God. Whatever it takes of letting go. Whatever it takes of letting go of my pride. Whatever it takes of letting go of my lust. Whatever it takes of letting go of my foolish thinking. Whatever it takes of letting go of my fears. Whatever it takes of letting go of my greed. Whatever it takes of letting go of anything this world could have to offer. Of letting go of my lips, of minding my own business and finding a quiet life, a life that emanates you, that comes to the dwelling place, that comes to the place where my heart consistently cries out, Lord, I long to dwell in your sanctuary. I long to dwell in your presence, God. I long to abide with you. Lord, as I go throughout the day, I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking of your creation. I'm looking at the trees and I'm being amazed at the life that you have given, all that you've given us to enjoy, to feel the sun on our face, God, to be able to experience that warmth, to be reminded of what your presence does to us and causes us to change, to feel your presence, God. To be able to see your creation, your people, Lord God, those that don't know you, Lord, not as those that are the immediate response of our flesh to say, oh, they're fools. Yeah, they are, but they need the love of Jesus. They're lost. And of course, they're going to act a certain way. But Lord, give me your eyes, God, to see. Give me your heart to feel. Give me the grace, God, to be able to speak a word of life, Lord God, that will totally turn a situation upside down. That when someone wrongs me at the counter, I don't counter back with something that is in the flesh, but I speak words of life that disarm and cause your presence to come. Lord, let me abide in you. Let me abide in you 24/7. Let me abide in you, God, so that I have no fear. Let me abide in you, God, so that when I'm dreaming, God, I don't say that dream's too big. My God can't do it. No, I believe that my God can do anything. That I serve the God of the impossible. The impossible. And in fact, I consistently dream too small. So Lord, increase my capability to receive from you. Increase my capability to love. Increase my capability to dream. Increase my capability to feel, to see, to hear, to do for your good pleasure. Bring rest to our souls, God. Bring us to that place of solace. Bring us to that place of contentment. Bring us to that place, God, where many would say it can't be done. Lord, I thank you that by your blood it has been made fully able and capable for us to allow it to be done. You did it. You did it yourself. So therefore it can be done and it must be done. Seal these things on our heart, O Lord. Seal these things on our heart, O Lord. To know you and to be known by you. The greatest desire of the life of every Christian. To enjoy God. and to love on him forever. Just do that for a moment more. Many of you, you may have plans, you may have things that you need to get to. That's fine. Those of you that can, just allow your heart to engage before you move out of the physical location of this place. Again, you don't move out of this place and then the connection stops. No, you move out of this place and you carry Jesus with you. You carry the song in your heart. You carry the prayer in your heart. You carry the devotion in your heart. You go back to him. You receive from his word. You meditate on it. You chew on it until it becomes who you are. Go ahead, worship team. Just release it. Just release it. This is the way that we get set free. Religion works on the outside, but the Holy Spirit today is working on the disease on the inside. Revive us, God.